Right now it is time for our weekly visit with theberkshireedge.com. They are there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, theberkshireedge.com. They join us on a Wednesday morning. We take a look at just some of the stories you'll find at theberkshireedge.com. And let's welcome in Marcy and David. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
It is nice to have you back. Marcy, are you there?
Hello.
There she is. There she is.
Here I am. Sorry, we're having some phone problems this morning.
it just goes to what our past 8 days have been like.
Oh, yeah. Are you back? I mean,
we finally got
we got electricity back right away. I mean, we lost it 3 p.m. We got it back around 4 a.m.
We got our power back last night about 7:00.
Did you really?
Yes. Last night?
Last night.
Do you have a generator? What were you doing?
Yes, we had
the station down?
No, we have a generator at all our sites, so we were going, but the generator ran for 8 consecutive days, and most people in the northwest corner didn't get their power back till yesterday, the day before, but there's lots of you'll see lots of news about Eversource coming out of Connecticut in the next month or two.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Well, I know my sister lives in Washington Depot, and luckily they have a generator, but I haven't heard from her, so I presumably she got hers back today too.
Yeah, it's been a wild time, that's to say, and even though you have a generator, there's something about that droning sound that's always in the background. And also, we have next door neighbors here, and they were all very patient because they were without power to hear our generator going 24 hours a day, seven days a week. So but we're past that now, and
this happens a lot in Connecticut. I remember, again, my sister. There was a snowstorm a few years ago.
Ten years ago. That was a 10-day power outage. That was a 10-day power outage.
So how long was this?
This was 7 to 8 days, depending upon where you were.
Well, so you've got to rename it. It's Eversource.
That's exactly right. you're exactly right. And their CEO gets paid $11 million a year. But that's a story of a different nature.
That is. Okay. That's a good story. Yeah.
Let us go on to some of the stories out of Berkshire County. And once again, COVID-19 news. Berkshire Hills Regional School District has announced it's going to open with remote learning.
Yes.
After announcing that it would open.
Yeah. The school district, the Southern Berkshire Regional School District, which includes Great Barrington, Stockbridge, and West Stockbridge, has decided it will open, but with remote learning. So that we'll see how that goes. That's going to be rather difficult, I think. But it's what the teachers have. The parents are a little bit skeptical, but the teachers are insisting that they have to adopt a kind of hybrid model for the time being.
That's what Housatonic Valley Regional High School.
Yeah, same thing.
In a 5-day week, Monday and Tuesday, a set of students will go to school while another set of students remote learn.
Yeah.
Wednesday, the school will be closed for a deep cleaning. And then Thursday and Friday, they switch around. The people that were remote will be live in school, and the people that were in school will be remote learning. That's the way Housatonic is opening up this year.
Yeah.
The stories that we're all going to be following, though, in about another 3 months is how are we going to fund all this on top of the education budgets? Because all this is going to add a terrific amount of money on the budgets.
Oh, yes. Think of just the cleaning costs alone.
Yeah. It's going to be out, and there's no federal help on the horizon for this. And taxpayers are going to have a big shock in about 3.5-4 months when they find out.
Well, hopefully, it's too bad they don't have it now so they can remember it on November 3rd.
And this is across the country.
Yeah.
Because all the school budgets are passed for the year already. And right. You just know the deficit at the end of the year is going to be staggering. So we'll see what happens. But you know what?
But also it means that other things are going to be cut.
Yeah.
You know, I had friends, I spoke with friends from New York yesterday who said that they can already see the homeless rate in Manhattan has gone way up.
Yeah.
You know, there are many more people out on the streets begging. There are many more people sleeping on the sidewalks because they've lost their apartments. And, you know, and where is this money going to come from? If you're spending money cleaning the schools, you have to take it from someplace else.
Exactly. So we'll have to see how all that pans out. But so at least the Berkshire Hills Regional School District has announced what they're going to do. Of course, what I try to tell everybody, this is all tentative because once the schools open up and do what they do, they will react to what they see and what they experience. And so you can expect some changes. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Another story that I'm interested in because I saw the response is the story out of Housatonic, and that's about the tap water. And it's the only remaining, I didn't realize this, the only remaining private water company in the Berkshires. And the water's discolored.
Well, you know, this harks back to centuries ago, when, you know, the water systems were privately owned. And the little village of Housatonic still has, you know, every other town now has, including Great Barrington, of which Housatonic is just a village, has a public water system. But Housatonic has a private water system. And it has been plagued with all kinds of problems over the years, including hydrants that don't work, you know, which is a major issue for fire suppression, you know. But now it has a problem of brown water, you know, dirty water. And the state is is not offering much solace to the poor people of Housatonic.
Well, because apparently the DEP is concerned with water quality, but not with aesthetic issues such as brown water. But it's hard to separate them.
They test the water for microbial contamination, and apparently the water is safe to drink. It's just that it's you get a little. What would you call it? You get a little solid matter with it as well.
Yeah, and you don't necessarily want solid sustenance when you're drinking water.
No, you don't.
At least you don't want to see it anyway.
No,
but
this is
what's so odd about this is this has been a problem that's come up periodically as long as I can remember. I mean, the issue dies down. People throw up their hands and they appeal to the state, and nothing actually gets done, and then people forget about it for a while. But it's a privately owned system, the water itself, it draws from a source that is absolutely crystal clear, but it's the pipes, the infrastructure of the system itself that is, it's what that brown water amounts to is not from the source of water, but rather from the rust
in
the pipes themselves.
Yeah, the days of small town companies owning water systems are really going by the board simply because, first of all, the rules get harder and harder and more expensive to follow, and it's just not a money-making proposition for a small single water company to operate efficiently.
Well, they can't charge enough in their rates, really, to pay for the maintenance of the system. And, you know, eventually this system is, you know, a century old, and these pipes are quite old, and they need to be replaced. The whole system needs to be replaced and flushed out, and it just can't happen under the rate structure that this that this little water company has.
They have fewer than 900 customers.
Right.
So.
Well, it's just like Falls Village decided to have their private the small company, and they're going to sell it to a bigger company simply because it's the prudent thing to do. It's not. I mean, we all would like to live in the age where we used to live, where small towns, but. There's some businesses that's just not possible, and when it comes to dispersing water economically, cleanly, healthfully, with the proper pressure and the proper hydrants working, small companies with 900 people just can't do that anymore.
That's right. It's a relic of another time, and I mean, quaint and charming as it may seem, it really has its problems, you know. But I'm sure we'll be revisiting this in the weeks to come.
Oh, I sooner or later, some hydraulic company will make a bid on that company. Sooner or later, it will happen.
It's just
a matter of time. That's all.
Well, the question is whether it's large enough for a company to see it some return on its investment. Though that's the thing. I think. You know, it should just become part of the Great Barrington water system.
Yeah, it really should.
You know, that's the answer, because you know, water is like roads. You know, roads used to be privately owned, and they were called turnpikes, and everybody had to pay to go on them. But now, water systems like fire suppression and other public services is a public matter that everybody shares in the expense, you know, not a privately owned operation. Shouldn't be.
I want to move on because you've got an interesting story here with Tanglewood. I love this. It's like when you buy a car and the color is called Sierra Sunset. It's tan. Well, Tanglewood is calling it summer season. Summer season transformed.
Oh, right.
But it's transformed, all right.
Yes,
right.
It doesn't exist.
Well, it exists.
Yes.
Virtually.
Yeah.
But the Tanglewood season is, of course, they can't have, big audiences. So they're producing these online concerts that people can watch at scheduled times. But all we can say is that this is really memorable.
Oh yeah, people will
be. Well, they're trying. I mean, our story is now. I mean, there's a musician, a violinist named Bonnie Bewick, in the BSO, who's also a composer and who also has a little group of her own with cello and violin. And so
they're all musicians from the BSO, right?
So they have, socially distanced. They have played some pieces, and they are, I guess they're calling them Friday night concerts. But anyway, it's streaming on the BSO website through this Friday. Our reviewer, David Edwards, says that the music is really exhilarating and very exciting. And I watched, I've spoken before about Close Encounters with Music, but the artistic director of Close Encounters, Yehuda Hanani, played a concert with the guitarist Elliot Fisk on the stage of the Mahewi a Sunday night a week and a half ago, and it was a online concert. It was live online, and now I think it's on the Mahewi website. And I have to say that it was thrilling. I mean, I put my earphones into my computer, so I had very good sound, and I was in tears. It was so beautiful. So that there is something to be said for having this music available, live music, which you can stream right into your own home. it's not the same as sitting in an audience and having the thrill of the audience. It's the same way that people here are going to drive-in movies now. You can watch the film, you can get the sound through your car radio, and but you don't have the audience. And that's the big difference. There's something about sitting in a live audience and everyone is reacting to the music together and you have a sense of community, and that's what we don't have.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because the Sharon Playhouse now is on to their third show this weekend,
mm-hmm.
Where the Divas will be. They have an outdoor stage.
Yeah.
They have an FM frequency where you can tune into, or you can open the windows to your car and hear it mm-hmm. that way. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're in your car, you don't have to wear a mask. If you get out of your car to get something to eat or drink
right.
or go to the bathroom, you have to put a mask on.
Right.
But they have places for 52 cars at each show, and the price is per car. So if you put four people in a car, four people
right.
get to basically see the show for $10 or $12 a piece.
Right.
But it's enough to keep the public interested. It's enough to see the public still go to the theater. And even like in Salisbury, they're trying something different. They're doing a social distancing sidewalk sale in Salisbury
mm-hmm.
this weekend
mm.
just to try to get people out and be safe and realize that, hey, you can go out, you have to social distance, you can wear a mask, but get used to going out again.
Yeah, well, that's happening in the Berkshires, too. I mean, Barrington Stage and the Berkshire Theater Company are both putting on live performances under tents. And
right.
if you look at our article, we had a review of Barrington Stage's current production, and people are sitting all 6 feet apart. And you come in, you're escorted to your seat. You're told to stay in your seat. There are no intermissions. There's no mingling with the audience. And then when it's over, you go home and you go back. You leave and you walk right back to your car.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this goes, but at least we get a taste of what it's like to see these shows and to be outdoors.
Well, the big problem is going to be when it's too cold
yeah.
for people to do it outdoors.
Well, I wonder, too, what the consequences, just from a more global perspective, what the consequences are going to be of this so-called social distancing. It's disturbing,
I think Americans can pretty much get back. Every time there was a big strike in the NFL or Major League Baseball, people said, we're never going back. I think people will readjust as soon as things calm down and as soon as there's a vaccine.
Oh, people are desperate.
Well, I just wonder about what the consequences are going to be. I mean, not just people will be able to go back to what they used to do, but what are the kind of I don't know. I just wonder what the consequences are going to be.
Long term, we'll see the long term effects. You just can't
tell. Yeah, the long term effects are going to be interesting to see, and I think they'll be unexpected.
Yeah,
but we'll see.
All right, you've got another story that I want to get to because about a year ago I saw a great documentary on Breslin and Hamel. And it was a terrific documentary. And it threw you back to the days when reporters were reporters and facts were facts and things. But
we have an article about Pete Hamel who died last week, written by Leonard Court, who lives in both New York and the Berkshires and teaches film at NYU.
And knew Pete Hamel.
He was quite a guy, Pete Hamel.
Quite
an original. I mean, no college education, but a terrific writer.
Just imagine going back to that time in New York where you had Jimmy Breslin and Pete Hamel.
What a team.
I mean,
neither of them at the New York Times.
Right.
I mean, they were at the Post and the News.
It brought you back to what newspapers used to be like.
Well, it's also, that they...
Well, they were the Rachel Maddows of the time,
In a way. But they were people that were, talking to people on the street and ordinary people.
Yeah.
And finding these remarkable stories that were... there was a you know, other newspapers have had columnists like that. In San Francisco, I remember it was Herb Cain, and came out
in Chicago.
And Studs Terkel.
Studs Terkel.
And then there was, but Herb Cain used to come out every day on, you know, his column was just this. Everybody read it because it was just, you know, he would sit out and at a favorite coffee house, and people would come by, and he would just write about people that he knew and that stopped by and talked to him. And it was just fascinating.
It wasn't
news, but it was like establishing a community.
Did you think people would read it today?
You know, I think they would. I think this kind of column is people are hungering for it.
Well, actually, the whole thing about that Hamill and Breslin documentary is Pete Hamill talked about the time when John F. Kennedy died and all the reporters went to cover the funeral, right?
Yeah.
And Pete Hamill said Jimmy Breslin wasn't there. They couldn't figure out where Jimmy Breslin was. Jimmy Breslin says, everybody's covering that. Jimmy Breslin went to where they were digging the grave and did an article on the two grave diggers that were digging the grave for President Kennedy.
isn't that interesting?
That's the kind of...
Exactly, yeah. Right. And by the way, I couldn't agree more.
But anyway, I want to go on because we have.
Well, maybe we should start one, maybe.
That's right.
Here, what do you think?
I think
that's absolutely.
Right. Let's go on to your next story because we only have about 2 minutes left.
Right. Okay.
The trials and tribulations of being an executive chef.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Well, that's fun to read actually, and I think if we only have 2 minutes, we should point out the next story that. You know, for the sake of our community, that we now have two outdoor areas in downtown Great Barrington where restaurants are, you know, having a sort of a food court. One is on Railroad Street, and the other one is sort of in the parking lot that's between Main Street, the building on Main Street, and the movie theater. We've got. You know, restaurants, I mean, you sit down at a table, you tell the server what restaurant you're there for, and the waiter or the server from that particular restaurant will come over and take your order. So, it's an effort to, Great Barrington is now becoming, you know, a destination community for downtown outdoor safe eating.
Hey, as my old flight instructor said, whatever likes your board, whatever you have to do to make it done, get it done.
Yeah, right.
And Great Barrington got a $70,000 grant to do this.
Yes, right. That's
well,
right.
Yes, they did.
So,
which is pretty amazing.
Well, they have to pay for police, and you know, they have to pay for people to be monitoring, especially Railroad Street, where you know, I think that there is going to be one lane of traffic. I'm not sure about that.
All right. Well, we are out of time, I am sure about that. But it's nice to have you guys back on the air.
Thank you very much.
Next week.
Well, nice to talk to you guys. And we'll be back next week with, I'm sure, all kinds of tales from, not the crypt, but
close enough to. All right,
guys.
From
the living room.
Tales from the pandemic.
All right, guys. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air.